Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will be reading until verse 19, and as Jabu mentioned earlier, this is our focus for the next 4 weeks, including tonight. Why does the resurrection matter? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 19. It reads as follows. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Just so far in God's word, let us pray ever so briefly. O Lord, we come before you. I come before you as one in need. I am conscious, Lord, that this task of proclaiming your truth to your people outside of your spirit at work within me, I cannot do this task. Outside of the presence of God, the move of God, in and of myself, my own strength, I cannot do this task. It is too great for me. So, Lord, I ask humbly. I ask as one in need, one in desperate need. Weak instrument that I am, weak vessel that I am, would you use even that weak vessel here this evening? Not for my glory, but for your glory, O Lord. That those present may hear the gospel, that those present may believe in the gospel, that those present would walk out that door and live the gospel. Please, O Lord, for your name's sake and for your glory, would you do this work in our midst? In your name do I pray. Amen. Why does the resurrection matter? Let's ask that differently. That's assuming it does matter. Let's ask it, does the resurrection matter? Does it matter to you? That which the Bible proposes to be true, does it matter to you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that on the third day he rose again, he was resurrected? Does that matter? Well, it mattered to Paul. At an earlier date recorded in our Bibles in Acts chapter 18, Paul's journey found him in Corinth. And in Corinth, Paul shared the gospel. And Acts chapter 18, the second half of verse 8, many of the Corinthians hearing Paul, they believed and they were baptized. That's what happened in Acts 18. Paul writes them now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would remind you, my brothers, my sisters, I would remind you of the gospel that I preached to you over there. You who believed and were baptized in Acts chapter 18, I want to remind you of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and thereafter he appeared to many witnesses. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed in. That's what you believed in. That's the content of it. But if that is where you started, Corinthians, if that is where you started, perhaps, Christians sitting in Central Baptist Church here this evening, because that's where we all start as Christians, at the gospel. If that is where you started, with the gospel that culminates in the risen Christ, why is it that it's reaching my ears that some of you do not believe in the resurrection of the dead? Why is it that some of you have loosened your grip on the doctrines of heaven and hell? Of judgment before a holy God, on life after death, on eternal life for those who are in Christ. Why do you bury fellow Christians and mourn them just like the world mourns them? You mourn them as if there is no resurrection, as if you'll never see them again. Why do you happily speak over unbelievers and tell their dead bodies to rest in peace when your Bible tells you that there is no peace for those who are not in Christ? Why are you acting as if this life is all there is, and then you breathe your last and then there is nothingness? Which Bible are you reading? It's not what my Bible says. What gospel was it that was preached to you originally? What gospel did you put your faith in originally? Which Jesus was it that saved you? Because the gospel that Paul was talking about culminates in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, this is Paul's argument. And he puts their hypothesis to the test, and he takes it all the way. If is the word for the day, word for the night, by the way. If this is all there is, and you live, and you die, and then nothing. If that is all there is to it, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. That's verse 13. If there is no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if you take away the risen Lord Jesus Christ, what then? Don't you realize it all falls apart from there? Don't you realize that if you take the engine out of a car, that car isn't going anywhere? Don't you realize if you push over this domino, they're all going to fall? Don't you realize if you take this block out of the Jenga tower, it's going to topple over? Don't you realize if you pull this thread out of the tapestry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are left with nothing? Don't you realize that if Jesus did not rise again on the third day, it's not minus one chapter in your theology textbook. It's no more Christianity. The entirety of our faith, it crumbles. And then there's nothing left to preach. And then there is no faith. And then there is no hope. And then we are all liars. And then we are stuck in our sins. And then life is meaningless. And all who bear the Christian name, they are of all people most to be pitied. If, big if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but he did, therefore we have something. If he didn't, we have nothing, but he did, therefore we have something. That is Paul's argument. That is my attempt at introducing this passage. Our structure, Lord willing, as we consider these 19 verses in the coming weeks is simple. We follow Paul's hypothesis: if Christ did not rise from the dead, here is the negative. Here's the negative. But logically, because Christ did rise from the dead, and because as Christians we believe that he rose from the dead, here is the positive application. So this evening we start with a hypothetical negative. Verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. In a nutshell, all gospel ministry is vain. Take away the risen Christ, and preaching is vain. The proclamation of the gospel is vain. And if the proclamation is vain, then certainly the hearing of it is equally vain. If it's not worth sharing, it's not worth hearing. That is coming from a man who spends the entirety of his life after becoming a Christian sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. From city to city, from synagogues to homes to the Areopagus, from prisons to the courts of kings to shipwrecks, risking his life and his livelihood, from Jews to Gentiles, the audience didn't matter, from slaves to masters, from rich to poor. This was Paul's entire life. This was his business, to proclaim the gospel, the power of God displayed in the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation for all who will believe. And this is what Paul is saying. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there goes my life down the drain. There it goes. Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, the message that has been on my lips all these years, it cannot save anyone. It had no substance to it. It was empty. In the coming verses, he adds, more than just being empty, I was deceiving people. I am guilty of misrepresenting God. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then what I said, what I preached, was empty and useless. What you hear, what you heard, it was equally useless. Your faith, whatever response you had, it was vain, it was empty, it was a faith that saves no one. If Jesus did not rise from the dead. For Paul and all who followed after, 2,000 years, from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the Corinthians here in these verses, to Rome, unto the ends of the earth, to South Africa in 2025, 2,000 years of preaching and hearing. 2,000 years of missionaries risking their lives in distant lands. 2,000 years of martyrs dying because they will not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. 2,000 years of church history, the gospel proclaimed, lost souls putting their faith in Jesus Christ. All of it, all the blood, all the sweat, all the tears, all the effort, all that life, all that death. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, it's all been a waste. It achieved nothing. I'm 29 years old as of a couple of months ago. I grew up in church, if you did not know. But let's say for argument's sake, I started going to church at 9 years old. 9 years old, and now I have 20 years of church life under my belt. Minus a few Sundays of sickness. Add a few services for Christmas and Easter. 50 sermons a year for 20 years. That's simple math. 1,000 sermons so far in my life. That's a conservative estimate. That's not even counting evening services. Or events, or camps, or Bible studies, or YouTube sermons. 1,000 sermons at half an hour a sermon. 500 hours. Now again, that is conservative because I grew up in a Zulu church and they do not preach for half an hour. But 500 hours of my life sitting and listening to God's word being preached and proclaimed, wasted, empty, contributing absolutely nothing to my standing, the standing of my sinful soul before a holy God, if Jesus did not rise from the dead. What about you? Never mind two services on a Sunday. Just for you to pitch up to one service, waste of time. You could have watched Netflix. You could have watched Liverpool beat Man United. You could have scrolled through Instagram or TikTok, YouTube, just passing time and waiting to die. That's what most of the world is doing. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then even what we are doing right now at this very point in time, it is mindlessness. Empty. Wasted. But remember, Paul is talking about gospel ministry. The proclamation of a gospel that is good news about Jesus Christ and salvation to all who will hear and believe. Now we've talked of mindlessness, but the danger as I perceive it is not mindlessness, it is Christlessness. I cannot tell you how many Christians I've met along the way who think the gospel is secondary or even unimportant. I cannot tell you the versions of Christianity that I have heard from even my lecturers at university, where either the resurrection of Jesus Christ never occurred, or at best it still has question marks hanging over it. But still, they want to be called Christian. Jesus wasn't a good teacher. Jesus taught the way of love. Jesus hung out with sinners, so sin is a non-issue, and clearly you can just be whatever gender you feel like being on whatever day you feel like it. Just live whatever and however you want to, as long as you make it up and it suits your wants and desires, and as long as that doesn't contradict what I make up and my wants and my desires. And Jesus hated religion. That's why he kept beefing with the Pharisees, and church is just institutionalized religion, so let's get rid of all of this. And the point of Jesus was to cut against the grain of society, whether it is capitalism or communism or the Romans or the Greeks or the American government or the South African government. It doesn't matter. And Jesus came for us all to be lovey-dovey and to stop fighting and to be anti-war and just to be peaceful with one another. And so let's just take the teachings of Jesus, whether he existed or not, or whether it's made up or not, I'm not sure. But the resurrection doesn't sound very scientific to me, so let's leave that part out. But I like the teachings. Not all of them. Not all of them. Those damn colonizers changed a few verses. But the ones that I like, I'll keep them and I'll live by them. And then all roads magically lead to heaven. And then we can just smoke weed and hug trees and say, yeah, man, and life will magically work itself out. And it doesn't matter that on Friday I did something for my ancestors, and yesterday I went to see the Sangoma. Today church is a vibe, and tomorrow I'll go pray down the road with the Muslims. Or even better, we can stop all religion and just try and balance the books so that no one ever goes hungry again. Let's end all wars. Let's eliminate poverty. Let's create a world where only good things happen, and where we all live till we are old and we can all die happy. If you want to believe in heaven, that's between you and the universe. Our job is just to turn up at your funeral and say nice things about you. That's fine. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we can take that path. And we can make up whatever Christianity we want. And we can remove gospel ministry. We can remove the gospel from the equation. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that there are people who call themselves Christians who think like that. There are people who call themselves Christians who pay no thought to the idea of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the path we go down. That's the negative hypothesis if we remove the resurrection. Let's flip it around. Christian, because you know, because I know, because we have put our faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because we know the resurrection is true, therefore we have something worth preaching. And those who are dead in the trespasses of their sins, they may not know it yet, and in fact they do not know it yet. But they actually also have something worth listening to. I like to think, And there are many in this room. I'm trying not to make eye contact. I like to think I have a good sense of humor. And believe it or not, when I am alone, I appreciate my own sense of humor. But it's still nice to share every now and then. Why did the chicken cross the road? I want to tell everyone why the chicken crossed the road. Do you know what I've learned? Despite my great and fantastic and beautiful sense of humor, not everyone appreciates it. And so for some people, I've learned just not to bother anymore. It's wasted on them. They don't think it's worth receiving, so why bother? Why bother? Why bother? Friends, that is true. That is true of why the chicken crossed the road. If they don't want to hear it, why bother? Why bother? But that is not true of the Son of God. Though he was eternal, though he was in the form of God, though he was not lacking of riches, of power, of glory, though he had it all in abundance because he was a Son of God and he was within the Godhead, the Trinity, but he did not count his godness and his equality to God as a thing to be held on to be grasped. And so he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of man, just like you and me, to sweat, to bleed, to cry, to suffer. But that was not it. That was not the lowest point. He lowered himself further. The eternal King of Kings humbled himself even lower, obedience unto death, even death on a cross. And then he arose and then he ascended, and the name of Jesus has now been lifted high, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord. It is worth sharing. May I discourage you for a moment? The world couldn't be bothered with Jesus rising from the dead. The world couldn't be bothered with bowing the knee. The world couldn't be bothered with confessing with their mouths, "We are sinners. We are doomed, death and damnation, weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need a Savior." The world couldn't be bothered with confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. They couldn't be bothered, and they may very well laugh in your face as you tell them those things. That's to discourage you. May I now encourage you? Tell them anyway. Why? Because Jesus rose on the third day. Because the gospel on our lips is not another opinion or option in a sea of opinions and options. It's not another one. It is the only one. Why? Because this is true Christianity, because this is what it means to be a believer, to actually believe that Jesus lived and died, and yes, on the third day he arose. How the chicken crossed the road, that changes no one's life. The chicken is vain, the chicken isn't worth preaching or hearing, but the resurrection is unlike the chicken. The gospel is unlike the chicken. So whether they want to hear it or not, tell them anyway. Tell them anyway. Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe that you believe? Do you believe that you believe that you believe? Why does the resurrection matter? Because the resurrection matters because if Jesus really did rise on the third day, We have something worth preaching, and we have something worth listening to. There's a terrible irony when it comes to gospel ministry. And I'm not talking about me standing up here. I'm talking about you and me. In our homes, at the shops, in our lecture halls, at our jobs, at the restaurant. This is the irony. The very thing that gives the gospel on our lips value is the very thing that makes us fear rejection and humiliation. How easy is it to talk about weather with a stranger? How natural is it to talk about soccer or rugby or sport with your friends? How confident are you telling people your views on politics? Somehow we struggle. Our throats become scratchy. Our tongue feels heavy in our mouths. And this nervous paralysis takes over our minds and bodies when we need to talk about the Son of God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us and died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. My friends, I sympathize with your nervousness. And this is all I'm suggesting, that we apply the truth of the resurrection to our nervousness. If Jesus rose from the dead, you have a message worth sharing. And therein, in the resurrection, therein lies its power. Please know the gospel. You're going to struggle to share a gospel if you do not know it. But power, the power of the gospel lies not in how well you articulate it. I know, man, I said the right thing about faith and mercy, but I missed something when I was talking about the justice of God. And then afterwards you think, I should have mentioned that verse. That verse was a perfect verse. And then because I keep falling short, clearly gospel ministry isn't for me. No. The power of the gospel lies not in how well you articulate it. This is it. Jesus lived, Jesus died for our sins, he was buried, he rose on the third day. Because our Savior is not dead, he's not dead in the grave, but he reigns on high, there is power in the gospel because of him. Because he arose, not because of you, not because of me. Because this gospel is not a dead gospel. It's not a dead gospel. It is a gospel whose king is very much alive. Therefore, it is worth hearing. The world does not know it. The world wants nothing to do with it. They are dead. But this is our task. This is what we are endeavoring often in our prayers. This is our mission with the gospel on our lips, to grab them around the necks and shake their dead corpses and shout the gospel in their ears. Resurrected Christ. Why does the resurrection matter? Without it, there is no point to gospel ministry. With it, the world is dying, and we have the only message that can save them. What will you do with the good news that has been entrusted to you? What will I do? Lord, help us. Lord, as always, I could say this, pray this every Sunday, easier preached than lived. But our Lord, as we dwell upon the truths of your word, May the truths of your word strengthen our convictions, and in turn, as our convictions are strengthened, may we grow in confidence in proclaiming the truth of the gospel unto the ends of the earth. This is redemption. This is salvation. This is the hope that the world needs. They're not going to find it anywhere else. Oh Lord, may we not die in our silence and our fear and our nervousness. Spur us on. Spur me on. That your gospel may ring out unto the nations. Please, O Lord, in your name do I pray, and to your glory do I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.